Blog Talk Radio.
And we are back, and we are back. Welcome to BFF Sports. I'm your host, Ray. I got my two brothers with me. You know, they've been riding with me on this one. My brothers, Mad Mike and Phil. What's going on, fellas?
I'm doing good, man. Just hanging in there. Just ready to talk about the sports world for today.
Oh, yeah. Kick
off where we left last week.
I haven't forgotten. We talking about that, but before we say anything, I just gotta give a shout out
to my NCAA brackets.
Oh my god,
they look like trash right now.
Damn, Virginia.
Virginia, UNC, pretty much every freaking body, man. It's been one of the worst NCAAs and the best you've ever had. I mean, who are they losing to? UNBC? I don't even know where the hell that is, man. Okay? And then Virginia lost to them. UNC, they just got destroyed today, okay? I'm looking at the scorecard. I'm expecting to see a close game, and I see they're down by 22.
Oh, and we ain't gonna talk about this this Auburn score I'm watching right now, 77-43 right now against Clemson.
77. Oh my gosh, really?
Score right now. That was college football. That would be wave the white flag was college football.
Oh my goodness, man. I'm glad I don't bet on this crap because I lost all my freaking money, man. I'd be living on the street.
I'm trying to tell you. But, and you know, Warren Buffett, the investor, can keep his $2 million because, you know, he does that perfect bracket challenge that if you,
complete a perfect bracket.
if you complete a perfect bracket, he'll give you $2 billion. And I'm pretty sure that probably will happen after, you know, we're gone from this earth. Cause
I don't see that happening
no time soon.
No, absolutely not, man.
Because, I mean, who expected UMBC to be the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament? Like, you know, and people talk about, oh, I picked them. I'm like, show the proof. And I'm still waiting on them because nobody picked them to beat Virginia.
Man, I don't even know where UMBC is, man. How the hell you gonna be pick them to beat Virginia? Come on, man. Stop lying to yourself.
And you know, you always gotta say that someone has a puncher's chance or a fighter's chance. But
right.
I didn't have that. I didn't have them beating.
Not them.
Let's just put it for what it was. It's not beating. They dismantled this team in the second half. They picked them apart in the second half. And I don't know whether it was a coach-player meltdown or a player-to-player meltdown. I don't know what caused. But keep in mind, this is a 21-21 game at half.
Oh, yeah.
And you go into the second half, and boom, everything blows up.
Go ahead.
You're 3 minutes into the second half, and you're already down 15. And I was like, whoa, what happened just that fast? What literally happened? So, like I said, I don't know what meltdown it caused, but there is no way Virginia should have lost to this team. Instead, this game should have been a blowout. I felt that Virginia was going to outcoach, outplay, out-hustle this team. And instead, it was the other way around. And I'm just – when they went down, I said it, 99.99% of brackets were busted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I went on ESPN, the little website on ESPN, and they said nobody had a perfect bracket. Because, like I said, I'm one of those guys. I had Virginia going to the Final Four, the Final Four, and a potential play for the national championship game. And, you know, I'm sitting here at work, you know, I'm doing my thing, and I'm looking up at the score, and I'm like, is this real? Like, you know, I mean, Virginia's supposed to be the ironclad number one best team in college basketball, and considering the fact that how they lost. But then I was talking to you know, one of my boys out there that he follows college basketball, and he said that UMBC played a perfect game, a perfect half actually. They played a perfect half because, you know, I mean, and Mike said it on his Facebook status that the reason why that UMBC won is because they was hitting everything they was throwing up. Like, they was throwing up prayers, and they were going in. And the fact that, you know, Virginia, who's a very good defensive team, was just, like, giving up, like, basic buckets. And I was just like, really? Like, seriously? Like, I'm looking at the score, and I'm like, this is not how it's supposed to go. Like, you know, Virginia only lost two games the whole season before this. And they ran through the ACC, and, you know, they won the regular season title. Then they won the tournament title.
Right.
And then they get to the NCAA tournament, and then they lose to a team that's named after a dog, a retriever. Like, they lost to a team that was like Scooby-Doo. Like, come on, man.
I saw something in their eyes. I saw something in Virginia's eyes that tells me why they lost. And it was all to do with, they were just, you have to be humble when you're going into this tournament. And the way the coach, for one, the coach, he came in, I mean, he had his suit on. He's, you know, he's parading in front of the cameras, you know, look, man, looking like the Dapper Dunn, looking like John Gatter with his suit on. I mean, he's smiling in front of the cameras and doing all this type of stuff. When I saw that, I said I knew they was going to lose. I knew they was going to lose because the way the coach, it starts from the top. If the coach is not humble, the players follow the players, and that's what I saw. He did not come in. He did not respect UMBC. He did not respect it. So he didn't relay that to his players.
Mm-hmm.
He had no answer for him. He didn't know what to do. He did not make any adjustment. This is a game that I paid attention to. I was watching his game. He didn't make any adjustments. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally disrespect that team. And those guys, them guys were just hitting everything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was just the fact that, you know, I was sitting there, and I don't know, I don't want to mispronounce his name, Lyles, the one that was playing on the bad leg.
Lyles. Oh, my God,
Lyles,
that dude
was balling. Like, I mean, every time he came down to the court and put up a shot, it was going in. Like, it was just like every time he pulled up the shoot, it was like he was praying to Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus was like, I'm going to bless you, son. Exactly. Like, I mean, it just seems like they played the perfect game. Like, you know, they did everything.
But then again,
it's like one of those teams, like, if you're playing the 72-10 Bulls and you need to beat them, you have to play a perfect game, like flawless, like a perfect game. Like, you can't have no mistakes. Because a team like that will kill you if you make mistakes. And it seemed like in the second half, they didn't make any mistakes.
They didn't make any mistakes because the coach didn't make any adjustments. You look at that game, they did not, Virginia didn't change their game at all. That's what happens with cocky teams. You know, you see it. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, pick on you, Phil, but that's what happened to the Patriots. That's exactly, they did not respect Philadelphia. They didn't make adjustments. Bill Belichick did not make adjustments in the Super Bowl. All you had to do is just bring in Butler in. Things could have been a little different. But when you have coaches that are so cocky and so arrogant, it's like, I'm going to win my way instead of making adjustments. when that guy was hitting the when those guy was when that when Lyles was on fire like that, she should have said, "Oh hell with this! No, I'm doubling this guy. Ain't no, I'm getting, I'm running some press, half court press, and take that ball out of his hand." That's what they do with a guy like Steph Curry. When he's on, they try to run everybody, you know, at him to get that ball out of his hands. That's what they went for.
And that's absolutely correct, what you're saying, even when it's Steph Curry. But one thing that I have to look at this game, and I have to take away from it, if you look at Virginia, there were only two guys who put up double figures in points. And they had 15 apiece. But the thing of the most that baffles me is their starting center and forward had a total, a combined total of 7 points. And 9 rebounds.
That's ridiculous.
The four,
you're not gonna win a game like that.
Lamar for this team, Lamar for UMBC, had 12 points and 10 rebounds by himself. So when you have someone that's out rebounding and outscoring two of your contributors that got you to the point where you're at, that's a sign to say, hey, maybe I need to look at something. And not to mention, you got Lyles with 28.
Mm-hmm.
You had Sherburne with 14. Mora with 10. You got to look at how this team was actively getting everybody else involved. When you go to Virginia and you look, that ball became stagnant. The play became stagnant,
exactly.
And when you're not moving the ball around, you're not running proper plays, and when you disrespect the team, because a lot of teams do this, okay, they may be up now, but I know my team, we're going to blow them out. They can't hang with us. But you don't understand. Mm-hmm. What you don't understand is that when you're the number one seed, you don't prepare for anyone almost. It's like game day. I know who I'm playing, then I'll prepare. But you got to realize, because you're the number one seed, everybody's preparing for you if they have to play you. Everyone is going to be scouting you if they have to play you. You're the number one seed.
Absolutely.
So I'm very disappointed in the coaching staff and the players of Virginia, because it just looked like you didn't come to play. You came to play a game that you just felt you were already going to win, hands down.
This team was really a 16th seed.
And they meant nothing to you. You didn't respect them. And they showed you what it was to play as a team. Virginia didn't play as a team the whole game. But UMBC, they played team basketball. There was not one thing that I did not like from this team. Now, are they going to win it all? I can't say.
I'm not going to say that
because I just said that Virginia, no one was beating Virginia. Except when we got to the Final Four. I didn't think they would get to the national championship game. But for them to lose to the 16th seed that no one heard of, I've never heard of this team.
I've never heard of this college.
And it's no disrespect. I've
never heard of them.
No disrespect to you guys at UMBC. You guys played a fabulous game. You put your school and your team on the map. Y'all made some noise. You got rid of the very top seed, the number one seed. No disrespect, but no one knows who you are. No one knew who you were until it was time to play the game. And my, did you play one hell of a game? You beat the number one team by 20 points.
It wasn't even close at all.
It was 74-54, the ending score. And like I said, this game was tied the first half, 21-21.
Like I said, they played a perfect half, a very perfect half. Like I said, I was sitting there watching the game, and Lyles just, you know, bad. I don't know if he was wearing a knee brace or something like that. But it seemed like every time he went out of the game, you know, Virginia would make a run, and then when he come back in the game, it was just like status quo. He would come back in and start launching prayers, and they were going in. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there, and I was talking, shout out to Dante. We were sitting there talking back and forth. He was like, I don't know if this is going to hold up. And I'm like, I don't know, because every time it seemed like Lyles would put a ball up in the hoop, it was going in. So, I mean, and then when I looked at the score again, I was just like, I think they're going to pull it off. And, you know, they did. And Mike will get mad at me when I say this. They did a Brock Lesnar to what Undertaker at WrestleMania broke the streak. A number one seed has never lost to a 16 seed until they were 136-0 until that night. So, in the words, so I think UMBC needs to get, if UMBC wins tonight, they need to go get Paul Heyman to be their spokesperson to speak before they play every game. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, man, look, I saw the look on the coach's face, he didn't come in like a Mike Krzyzewski. He knew Mike Krzyzewski, that makes him so great. Coaches like Mike, Coach K, Pat Summitt, these guys know they could go down at any moment. So they don't disrespect teams. They come in ready to make coaching decisions during the game. And the way the coach came in, I saw the look on his face. He came, like I said, man, this guy, if you can go back and look at the pregame, this guy came in. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was popping his collar. I mean, he was smiling at the cameras and everything. I was like, oh, this guy, he really thinks he could get this game already won. Totally disrespecting this team. And when a team gets hot, especially in the NCAA tournament, it's hard to take them out.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to keep them down. You have to have coaching. You really have to have a good coach in order to know how to keep teams down like that, to bring them back down to earth. That's where they went wrong. It wasn't so much on the players, because you know these players are young, man. They fresh out of high school. A lot of these guys are fresh out of high school, so they're still immature. They don't know the game as well as, you know, the NBA players, NBA coaches and things like that. So the coach, he has to get these players ready, and the coach absolutely, like Bill said, he lets his players down. Not so much the players for me. These guys are young. The coaches need to know better. And he came in, did totally disrespect that team. That's why they lost.
No. Okay. And we just got a final from the Clemson-Auburn game, 84-53. So they will be playing Kansas on Friday.
Ouch.
Right.
Ouch.
But you got to love March Madness, man. You got to love it. This is one of my favorite times of the year. Like I said, I told Mike all the time, like I said, besides, you know, the off season and the draft, this is probably one of my favorite times of the year, man. So I love it, man. And consider the fact, like I said, shout out to USNBC. I'm watching right now. They're in the game with Kansas. You know, a lot of people said that Kansas is going to blow them out. But they're right there. They're only down six. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people I was talking to on my timeline on Facebook, anything can happen. And they're filled with this striking distance, man. So, but I see we got callers here. I know we was going off, you know, we was talking about that, but we got a caller here, 2296. Right. Hello, you on the air?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's happening, man?
What's going on, homie?
What's happening, man?
Hey, man. Hey, is this the homeboy, Mark?
Oh, yeah. You know it, man. Yeah. I'm sitting here in you know, outside of Baltimore, Maryland, crying my boys. You know what I mean?
You back in the States, bro? Welcome back, man. I think you were still overseas, man. Welcome back, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. You know, I came back home a couple weeks ago. You know, I've been busy, but other than that, you know, I've been trying to catch on with what's going on. I've been seeing, you know, what's been going on with UMBC and everything that's going on in the tournament.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, like I said, I'm like Mike and Phil. We all like, who's UMBC? Like, if you're not outside of Baltimore, you don't know who they are. But they did, like I said, they're in the record books now. They're the 1-136-1. You know what I'm saying? They did what nobody could do. They beat a number one seed. You know what I'm saying? So,
man,
shout out to them. And like I said, I'm watching them right now, and they're still in the battle with Kansas State. Is a 32-26, so they still in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, them boys hanging tough. I was in a barbershop about 2 weeks ago when they was doing the they was in the America East tournament, the final against Vermont, and
the guy who cuts my hair, he was like, man, UMBC going to do something this year in the tournament. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, right, man. They ain't going to do nothing, man. They probably won't even beat Vermont. You know what I mean? And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, here we are talking about UMBC making history. It just blows my mind, you know.
Right. Then they win their tournament on the bus. Didn't they win their tournament on the against Vermont on the buzzer beater to get in the tournament?
Yeah, it was a buzzer beater. I believe it was Lyles who hit the winning shot. That boy Lyles.
That damn Lyles.
Lyles, he's a player, man. He tough, man. He tough.
Exactly. So, Warren, I'm glad I got you here, man, because, you know, we was talking about it a couple of weeks ago, or we was talking about it a couple of days ago. The fact that Georgia got this guy, you know, we hired, we let Rick Fox go, which was well overdue because he wasn't doing that in the 9 seasons with the Georgia basketball team. And we hired Tom Crean. You know, I have my reservations about Crean because I know, you know, he got a Marquette to the Final Four with a special player named Dwayne Wade. And he's trying to recruit down in Georgia, trying to get the Georgia basketball program back up. I know, and then, you know, we was trying to get Thad Matta, and I knew he wasn't going to come because, you know, Ohio State still paying his checks. And, you know, if you give up $9 million, you know, Ohio State giving you $9 million to not coach, you know, I wouldn't coach either. So what are your thoughts on Crean coming to Georgia? Is he going to make an impact to, you know, to bring us back to the tournament? Because, you know, Georgia hasn't been in the tournament since, I'm thinking, Dominique Wilkins was the last time. So, yeah. So what are your thoughts on with this? Is Crean going to bring us back to the tournament? Or, you know, what's your
I'm very optimistic with Crean. A lot of chatter has been going on with Crean saying that he's not the guy. But, you know, I have 5 guys in mind. And I think I shared this with you. crazy it may sound, I said Rick Pitino as my top guy, and then
Before I didn't mean to cut you off. I don't mean to cut you off, but a lot of people said that too. And you know, I was 50-50 on that. You know, I know they said, you know, because he comes with a lot of baggage, but the man knows how to win. And at the same time, he's still under investigation by the FBI.
Right.
And you know our program, our program's not trying to do that because, you know, they already talk about how Kirby Smart is being, you know, he's breaking rules because he's recruiting all these guys to play on the football team. So I understand why we didn't get Pitino. But honestly, if it came down to it, if push came to shove, I would have took that risk because I'm tired of watching teams like UMBC and Nevada and La Jolla, Chicago playing these tournaments and going to and advancing the far, as far as they go. I'm like, can Georgia at least get in the dance at least?
Exactly. That's where I was at with it. I'm like, just win, baby. You know what I mean? You know, Oakland Raiders, just win. Because, you know, I was at the point where, you know what, I don't care. You know, Rick Pitino, 2-time national champion. He knows how to coach in the SEC. He would automatically, in my view, with – elevate himself as the second best coach or maybe the best coach in the SEC because to me, John Calipari, he just get by talent alone. And so to me, we would have the best coach available in the SEC, you know, bar none, you know, X's and O's wise. So, yeah, I was willing to take Rick Pitino, but I understood why we didn't take him. Now, like I was saying, I had Rick Pitino was number one. And then Thad Matta is number 2, and then Tom Crean is number 3. And we got Crean, but then I also was looking at the coach from Georgia State, Ron Hunter.
Yeah, Ron Hunter.
So I was like, well, if we don't get, you know, our top 3 guys, you know, we definitely can get Hunter because, you know, he's probably going to look to go up. And so no, I'm cool with Crean. My thing is keep the in-state talent. If we keep two or three guys in-state, you ain't got no choice but to win. You ain't got no choice but to win.
My question to you is this. My question is, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You said Georgia's the hot best talent. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, we had a top five. You know, we had a top five, a five star point guard in Austin Hagans that decommitted, and then you had Elias King, a four star power forward who decommitted after Mike Fox was fired. After he was fired, you think Kareem can get those guys back?
I hope so, man. Ashton Hagans, he went to he goes to my high school, Newton County High School, that I went to for my 9th through 11th grade years. And so just talking to the guys who are close to him right now, it seems like he just wants stability. Like, he wants to represent for the home team, but at the same time he wants stability and also be able to get to the NBA also. So I think that, you know, with a little you know, Tom Crean goes in there with his you know, ducks in a row, and he talks to the kid and his family, I think he'll recommit to us. But it's gonna be hell because UNC and Kentucky, they're 1-2 right now for him. So you know, maybe he can go in there and say, hey, you know, come back and put your home team on the map. You know, whatever they do, whatever he does, he just need to do it better than what he does, because you know, Kentucky and UNC is breathing down his back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, when was the last time the Georgia Bulldogs basketball team had a star? Dominique was the last star we had. And when was the last time, you know, Georgia hasn't been to the NCAA tournament, like, it's 22 years, right?
No, if you remember back in 2008, we went on a Cinderella run in the SEC tournament.
Oh, right, yeah, I forgot about 2008. The tornado that saved our season. I mean, I don't want to say it like that, but
and them
the tornado, when them storms happened in Atlanta and all our games were played in the Georgia Dome. Yes, absolutely. Shout out to Tony Humphrey. Tony Humphrey, Sadiah Gaines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. I remember.
So, I think, well, before that, if you remember, we lost to Southern Illinois when we had Ezra Williams back in, like, 90s. I want to say 97. Was it 97? So, it might be a little bit later than that. But we had Ezra Williams back in the Jim Herrick days, when Jim Herrick was doing all that dirt when he was coaching with us. But actually, that was 99. I'm sorry, 99. So, yeah,
Absolutely. You know,
Georgia got a chance. We just got to be able to we got to get the coach in there to do his thing.
Go ahead, Martin.
Yeah, we just got to get a coach in there to put a fence around the state and say, no, you can't come in our state and take our talent.
Just like Kirby Smart did. Like, Kirby Smart kept, you know, not only did he keep everybody in house, you know, he invited a few others. So, you know, like I said, I posted it on my Facebook. We got a four-star lineman from Tennessee who just committed, class of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
He just committed. So, you know, I mean, and I know, and I was also reading that Kirby Smart sent a text to Tom Crean saying that, you know, bring our program back into relevance. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited about our team. Because, like I said, I know my brother Mike is a Duke fan. You know, he's used to his team going in the tournament.
Let me explain that because I hear Martin already. Look, man, my high school, okay? My high school. We are the Avondale Blue Devils, okay? And
Avondale still got a high school?
Hey, yes, man. Hey, man. Avondale still got a high school, man. All right. And for years in Atlanta, we never got to see any Georgia games. They did not play Georgia in Atlanta. They always played Duke games. So that is one of the reasons why, you know, I grew up as a Duke fan. High school and all I saw was Duke game. That's the reason why. It's not because I'm hating. It's not because I'm hating on this team. You know how a lot of these fake Falcons fans are. But they didn't jump on
it. We gonna trade the whole team. We're gonna trade Julio, Matt Ryan,
You know, trying to train everybody, inspire everybody.
Bruh.
Right, man.
I'm just trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you, man. I mean, like I said, I told Mike plenty of times. I told Mike about this. As much as I love my Falcons team, we have the worst fan base in the National Football League.
Oh my gosh, bar none.
Very do.
Bar none.
Like,
hey,
very. Like,
I don't even listen. Like, it's only certain Falcon fans I actually listen to. Like, okay, yeah, you make sense. But once you start talking about my quarterback and my receivers and, you know,
they are freaking out about Matt Ryan getting $200 million, man.
I'm like, this dude been here
11
years, 10 years, consistent from the very first pass he ever threw in Atlanta Falcons jersey, okay? First game, first throw, touchdown, and we still hating on this man.
Yeah, man, they don't remember how it felt when Michael Vick got hemmed up and we went.
Oh, my God,
man. They don't remember
man,
that. They remember when we went 11-5 after Michael Vick. They remember that Matt Ryan season.
Right. And I don't think Michael Vick led us to a Super Bowl either.
No, never.
Exactly. So, but I don't mean. Go ahead, Phil.
The way I look at it when it comes to sports, and I hear you guys talk about your Falcons a lot, the way I look at it now, sports this generation, when it comes to fans, as a fan standpoint, this is a win-now type fan base, type league.
Yeah.
And if you cannot win now, you're condemned. Mm-hmm. And I am not a Falcons fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have respect for
Oh, we know, Phil. You said it plenty of times during Super Bowl 51. We know.
I have respect for what Matt Ryan has done for the organization. But when you look at some of your fans and they're diehard, they go hard for them. And some do, some don't. And the way I'm looking at it is the ones that don't, they're like, okay, you've been here how long? And you have not gotten us a Super Bowl. You led us 2-1. But you haven't raised that trophy. So I'm looking at it and I'm just like, well, wait a minute. The guy that you had before didn't get you this far.
Exactly.
The guy that
you know what's funny? They cheer him more than our current quarterback. Like they think, like I said, Michael Vick, like I said, I don't have a problem with Michael Vick except when he was talking about he wanted to play. If he had a choice, he would pick Philadelphia over Atlanta, and I bet you told him to kiss my ass. But you know what I'm saying? Like it, like I said, it seems like you know Atlanta is we all know Atlanta is a predominantly black city. So when you see a black guy playing quarterback who is successful, you know a lot of people hold on to that. So when you see a guy come in like Matt Ryan, even you know he's balling and he makes one or two mistakes, they like bring Michael Vick back. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and then Michael Vick not even realizing Ron Mexico, Mr. Mexico, he actually left all over your city. You know,
When he threw the middle fingers after he stuck up that game against New Orleans, when he threw the middle fingers, I was done with him after that.
Done.
But I'm gonna say this.
Done.
The clock is ticking with Matt Ryan now, whether y'all like it or not.
It's like, look.
Hold on. Before you say that, if Tom Brady can say he can play till 65,
No.
Because Tom Brady said he can play till 65. Tom Brady said he can play.
I'm not talking about the age. I'm talking about you winning the Super Bowl and making this thing happen.
Okay.
The time is ticking. It's ticking. And you can't expect people to be still loyal to this guy if he cannot produce what they crave the most. You guys, Falcon fans, watch. The Eagles defeat the team that you should have beaten last year. That has got to sting to fans of the Falcons. You got to think about
it. Oh, man, that hurt.
Well, yeah, it does sting. It does sting, but at the same time, it gives me hope at the same time because nobody, like even Mike said it, like
Mike said, I'm not watching the Super Bowl because everybody in the world knew who was going to win the game. Like, we knew the Patriots were going to stop a butthole in the Eagles before they actually played. Like, you know, like I said, Mike said he wasn't going to watch it. A lot of people on my Facebook timeline said they weren't going to watch the Super Bowl because everybody knew Tom Brady, terrific Tom, was going to win a sixth Super Bowl and he's going to pass Joe Montana as winning the most Super Bowls as a quarterback, winning the most Super Bowls. That was the thing. ESPN ran it over and over again. Like, they had a love fest with Tom Brady. Like, they had a love fest with Tom Brady all of a sudden, as they usually do. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't expect the Eagles to beat the Patriots. I watched it because it was football. It was football and it was the Super Bowl. But, come on, think about it. Who really thought that the Eagles had a chance against New England? Like, seriously. Like, for real.
I thought they had absolutely no chance in hell, man.
Not one. Especially with Carson Wentz going down, their starting MVP caliber quarterback going down with an injury. Like, you really thought Nick Foles was going to outdo Tom Brady in the biggest stage in NFL? Come on, stop playing.
No, never.
But I always tell you guys, there's a
not at all. Not in my wildest dreams.
There's always a puncher's chance. And I know my team better than anybody. And I knew the flaws that we had going into that Super Bowl. And I knew we were not going to play a perfect game. And if we played a perfect game, it was, wow. We lost so much. We were still trying to figure out some things. And then to find out that Butler wasn't going to play, I'm like, okay, now what's going on here? But I always give a team a puncher's chance. I can never count a team out. So, like I said, again, I hats off to the Eagles. But
I low-key hope I low-key hope the lights went out because I can't stand neither one of y'all.
Phil,
you gotta understand where we're coming from as Falcons fans. You gotta understand the way that Tom Brady and the Patriots came back against us in Super Bowl 51. We already knew, like, when the Patriots beat Jacksonville, who was a very tough team.
Mm-hmm.
When the Patriots beat them, we was like, oh, it's over. New England got the best puncher's chance in the AFC Championship game, and the Eagles with a quarterback who hasn't played not many games, was going against arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history.
Of
like
all time.
We already knew, like this is a wrap. Like wrap it up and put it on a bowl and sit it under the Christmas tree.
But I go back to telling you this the same thing all the time. And we discussed the game before the Super Bowl even happened. I told you that this team is probably the most well-versed team I've seen for us to play. They can rush. They can cover down in the backfield. They can disrupt what you want to do. And for a good first half, they did that. Now, granted, offensive-wise, we did make the adjustments we made, and then you see Tom ball out 505 yards in a Super Bowl. Unheard of.
I think it was a complete opposite of the Falcons. I think it was a complete opposite of the Falcons game. Philadelphia was a complete duplicate of what we did to them in the first half of 51.
What you say, Mike? What they do? What the Eagles do that the Falcons did?
They kept running the ball. They just kept running the ball. They just kept running the ball. We didn't do that.
Absolutely.
And it hurt me, too, because I live here in Northeast Maryland, and so I'm between Baltimore and Philadelphia. And so when I come into the airport in Philadelphia, that's the first thing I got to see. I got to see the home of the world champion, Philadelphia Eagles. I'm like, man, it hurts me to the core.
Right. Absolutely. Man, look, like I said before, and I say it again, the more I watched Super Bowl 52, the more I got pissed off because I was like, this was supposed to be what the Falcons were doing. When Julio made that catch
to
get us in field goal range, I don't care, man, if they had the ball off three times and we lost 8, 10, 12, 15 yards. Matt Ryan was going to kick the football in between the upright. Like,
I'm still trying to figure out what
was
he thinking. What are you thinking? You have Matt Bryant. Matt Money Bryant, okay? He don't miss field goals. He don't miss field goals. That's run the ball three times and it's over. That's it.
Three words.
Kyle Shanahan told his
soul. Doofus. Yes. Doofus. That's why they got Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Kyle,
yes, sir.
Kyle sold his soul, man. He said, man, let me go on and not run, help them out because I might need them later to get Jimmy.
I'm trying to tell you. But, fellas, we got 20 minutes. I know we can talk about this all night, but we got 20 minutes, and we were talking about this last weekend. Martin, I'm glad I got you on because, you know, you're a basketball – you know, you're into your basketball like all of us. The commissioner of NBA, Adam Silver, was talking about, you know, changing the playoffs from, you know, the typical East-West to the best 16 teams in the playoffs. And Mike's boy, LeBron James, He's against it. But I think it would be good. I think it would be good for the league because I wouldn't mind seeing a Rockets or a Warriors finals. Like,
great.
Those are the two most
great.
Exciting scenes in the NBA right now. So give me your thoughts, brother. I know Mike's like, nah, bro. Give me your thoughts. I'm not a LeBron fan, man.
And I understand that everybody wants to see something different. Everyone wants to see something different. That is the goal, okay? That is the key to this thing happening. But doing this is not going to make things better. And I say this because they're doing this because of these guys, LeBron James, one, completely screwing organizations and just going and forming these super teams. So we're going to punish teams. We're going to punish teams like the Hawks, punish teams like the New Jersey Jets. But the Brooklyn Nets, teams that cannot compete with these guys that are making billions, millions of dollars. I mean, the Golden State Warriors, they made close to $1 billion in the last couple of years just making up championship. You cannot compete with these teams like this. When you are making, 16 teams? Those are 16 teams.
Well,
you're punishing guys that cannot compete with the big market teams. And that's the one reason why I say this is not a good idea. You're punishing guys that cannot compete with, you know, these big market teams. And that's the only reason why I say this is a terrible idea. Just for that.
I understand what you're saying. But you were the same one that complained about LeBron basically moonwalking to the finals too at the same time. So why not switch it up though?
That's the reason why I'm saying it, because you're punishing teams like the Hawks who are trying to build, who don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of the money to compete. And LeBron is not going to play forever. We're talking about longevity. This is something that's not going to be good for, you know, for years to come. This is just one of the things that might be for a year or two. Just because LeBron James and, you know, the Houston Rockets, these guys are not going to play forever. So why change something that has been in place for years, decades, for a team that's not going to play forever? These guys are not going to play forever. This is one thing. They're not going to play forever. So why change something that's been done for decades, you know, just for these three teams? Because it's basically
I look at it like this. I mean, consider the fact that people don't watch the NBA All-Star game. You know, the All-Star game's been down for a while. And then they changed the format to where, okay, we're just going to do like the schoolyard and we're going to just pick. You know, we get two people, the team captains, and we're just going to pick, you know, like the schoolyard, just going to pick the players to complement our team. And the All-Star game went up. Like, people actually started to watch the All-Star game. So
But it's not good for the
Pistons. I don't see a problem.
That's my thing, Phil. Exactly. Exactly my pain, Phil. That's exactly my pain, Phil.
For how long?
Is it my time?
My thing is, I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you, Mike. My thing is, I'm a traditionalist, and so I'm with the East-West format. Yeah, LeBron, you know, he's dominating the East. He's moonwalking to the finals. He's not – he got 3 rings. It's not like he got, like, 10 of them. And so
right.
You know what I mean? And so my thing is, I'm a traditionalist. So I saw Jordan dominate the East and then ultimately win the finals. So, you know, I like that East-West format. And so, like you said, Mike, it's LeBron is 33 years old. He only got, what, 8 years left, maybe, if that. And then he's definitely done in 5 years. And so you're going to switch it up because of this right now. You should have switched it up. If you thought about it, you should have switched it up 10 years ago.
Right,
so,
exactly.
You know,
But wait. My question is this. The only reason why they switched it up now is because all the good teams are in the West, though. Like, think about it. Who's really good in the East besides Boston, Toronto, Cleveland, and maybe – them three.
Don't you dare say Washington.
Especially with Wall not playing. Come on. Don't you dare say Washington.
Hey,
man,
That's what I'm saying. Name another Eastern Conference team that are good behind those three I just named, Boston, Toronto, and Cleveland. Because we all know, even though Cleveland is down, they still got the greatest player in the game, LeBron James. And then
if you look at the West, if you lose
like 2 or 3 games, you're out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, matter of fact, Phil,
Dre,
don't you just talk about a couple?
Okay, let's just move Houston to the East. Let's just move and everything is solved.
But
move them to the East and everything is
solved.
That's
what I'm saying. Like, look at San Antonio. San Antonio is in ninth place in the West. Grand Finals.
Right.
Bill even said it.
Well, why change the format? That's
you know,
my thing.
Yeah.
Move
yeah.
it, change the
you
team.
Think about it, Dre.
The same reason that people are complaining about the college football playoffs to expand because the same teams are going to the college football playoffs. Like, stop it. Like, come on.
Everybody's
talking about how Alabama didn't win their conference championship. But yet, and still, they still got in the college football playoff. Maybe expand it. So I don't have a problem with this. Put the best 16 teams.
Expand it, but you're talking about changing the whole entire format. That's my thing.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's
hear what Phil have to say, man. Let's hear what Phil have to say.
As everybody know, I love my traditional basketball football. I do like to see how it was because that's how it was old school brought up to me. But when I say I see so much excitement if you change and put the best 16 teams in the league in the playoffs against each other, we're talking about endless matchups. We're talking about possibly seeing James Harden versus Antetokounmpo and the Bucks. Something we're talking about the
Timberwolves. Something different.
Possibly
seeing
the Wizards. You got John Wall possibly playing Steph Curry in the first round of the playoffs. It's something.
Mm-hmm.
It intrigues you there. It's something exciting. And I, for one,
right.
I want to say this. What if LeBron plays a top team in the West the first round?
Everybody's talking about how the college football needs to be expanded because the same teams play. But then, you know, like I said, just like the tournament we're watching now, did anybody expect UMBC to beat Virginia? Raise your hand if you thought that was going to happen. Raise your hand. I bet none of y'all can raise your hand.
But they ain't going
right
nowhere,
now.
Man. They ain't going nowhere, Jay. You know NBC ain't going nowhere,
about?
Man.
What are you talking about? Right now. Right, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Mike. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, they got a chance to play.
Dre, for one,
against a
for one, if you're going to do that, Dre, you're going to have to completely change the format of how many games you're going to play. For one,
in what?
Are
in
you
going
to go back
in
to
what?
A game four? You're going to go – if you're going to have 16 teams, are you going to keep the traditional seven-game, five-game series?
You could always drop it back to the, you could always drop it back to a best of five in the first round, like they had it before. Before they stretched it to seven games because they wanted more money. Before they wanted more money, they could always go back to a best of five, and then after that, they can make a best of seven. Like it's not rocket science, bro. It's not rocket science.
But then what's the point? But then what's the point of even having? What's the point of even having East and West? That's my thing. What's the point of even having East or West if you're gonna do something like that?
Because you won't have an eighth seed with a losing record like the Hawks did when they played the Celtics in 08 with a losing record. I'm just being real here.
Dre, they're still in the playoffs.
Who's still in the playoffs?
Let me make this point real quick. If you think about it, Dre, the East been down for like 20 years. Ever since Shaq went over to the Lakers, and then when Jordan retired, that's when the East was no more. If you think about it, so you know LeBron James, he already came in the league had it somewhat easy, being with the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then ultimately went to Miami and then back to Cleveland, but he really, honestly, truly had it easy from day one.
I know he had it easy, but when, like I said before, he was the one that had the issue with this whole new format that they're trying to improve because we already talked about it years ago because everybody knows that in the Eastern Conference. It was LeBron and everybody else. Let's be honest here. Who really thought that a team with LeBron on was going to lose in the Eastern Conference? Think about it. Don't worry, I'll wait.
He know damn well if he played, let's just say, a team like Portland, they're going to give him a series. And then the second round,
That's what I'm saying. What is the issue with that? Because we all talk about
What's the point of even having an East and West? Just have one big-ass division if you're going to do something like that. It really makes absolutely no sense to have
But Mike, what did you say? Plenty of time on your timeline. The NBA is boring. I don't watch anything except my Hawks and Steph Curry because it's boring. But then when they do a new format, you like, no.
Because it doesn't solve the players. You're still gonna be playing the same team. But at least
you can get some excitement. Like Martin said, if Portland played Cleveland with LeBron on it, at least you get some excitement. Cause think about it. Who watched the NBA playoffs last year? Cause everybody know who's gonna go to the playoffs last year. The Warriors and the Cavs. Snooze fest until June.
It was the Warriors and Cavaliers and everybody else. But I mean, it was interesting matchups within the East and or at least the West. I can't say that. And then if Kawhi Leonard didn't go down, who's to say that they wouldn't have gave Golden State a run in the playoffs? You know, they were still doing their thing.
All I'm saying is this. I just want level playing competition. Like, everybody knows, like I said, the past few years, everybody knew who was going to the finals. Cleveland and Golden State. Like, really, we didn't have to watch the playoffs until June. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for
Dre, that's never really changed, though. That's never really changed. I understand what you're saying, but that never really changed, Dre. I mean, even in Michael Jordan days, we know Michael Jordan was going to win, okay? We knew that was going to happen. But you had teams in the East and the West that gave him a run for his money. You have nothing, but
okay,
now my thing is
exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Who gave Cleveland and Golden State a challenge to get to the final?
Dre, we don't know that right now. Anything can happen, especially right now.
You don't know that right now because you know why? Because Cleveland beat the shit out of everybody and Golden State beat the shit out of everybody to get to the final. Like even when Michael Jordan played, he still had to play seven games against the Knicks to get to the finals. You know what I'm saying? And every team that he went against, they had to go like Houston, like not Houston, Utah. They had to beat Houston in seven. John Stockton beat them on a three-pointer to get to the finals. We already know this. Like, come on. Like, seriously. Like, we already know who's going to go.
I think you're just saying this because you want to see something different, man. This really doesn't solve anything besides just something different.
Wait a minute. Nobody said nothing about the college football playoff when they went from 2 to 4. Nobody said nothing about that. And now they're talking about going to 8 because UCF didn't get in with that cake-ass schedule. So now they're talking about going to 8.
I say we got mad Dre today, boy. We gonna got mad Dre. That's what you need to be talking about now.
My thing is, what you guys are saying is,
all right, we got 4 minutes left, man. Let Phil get it.
Go ahead,
what
Phil.
I get what you guys are saying. I get what Mike is saying. Oh, okay, it doesn't solve anything in the league. Okay, I've always said that. That's parity was what made the league great. You had a lot of players, great players on different squads, and it was spread equally. Now that you don't have that no more and you have that this age of the super team, at the end of the day, this 1 through 16 seeding would be great because it's fantasy matchups that you didn't think you would see in the first round. And then I go back and I hear you say that it punishes lower teams like the Hawks and Knicks. Well, why is it punishing them if they don't have the talent too? You see what I'm saying? I can't sit here and say it punishes them because you don't have the talent to compete. That's what
I'm talking about as far as the money.
You
still have revenue sharing. You still have revenue sharing. And the money would not be shared correctly the way it's supposed to be if you have these three super teams that's getting pretty much everything and all the players. I mean, it does absolutely nothing.
I'm with the 1 through 16 thing. Like I said, the fantasy matchups would be amazing. It's something you wouldn't think you would see in the first round. I'm all for it, and I'm anxious to see if LeBron does play a top team in the West, how would he fare in the first round? I'm anxious to see that. That's something that we have to see.
Man.
That,
all right,
that's
just that build a damn fantasy team.
Being tested in the first round.
Hey, look,
let's
like you said, you build a fantasy
in the first round.
You said build a fantasy team too.
Build a damn fantasy old Olympic
exactly.
team. That's where we going. We're going to have a damn fantasy team, the Olympics with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Magic Johnson all on the same freaking team.
Before we get on the show, we already know this because Kevin Durant went and joined Steph Curry, and now they the super team. And then they talk about LeBron might leave and go
it's
to the Lakers.
It's only
going to
get worse, man. It's only going to get worse. When
so
you
exactly. Exactly.
One
like,
thing.
It's not
one
what
more
it was.
Thing.
Look, before. Go ahead, Phil.
One thing before we go off. If it's okay and everyone says they would love for it to be switched up for the NFL because you got Tom Brady and everybody else, why is it such a bad thing if you switch it up because you got LeBron James and everybody else? Why?
Because they're not going to play forever, man. They're not going to play forever. I said that all
day. But it's still endless matchups, and it's fantasy, and that's what some people want to see, and I don't see any problems with that.
All right, fellas, we need a two-hour show because we about to run out of time. But
yeah,
I'm heated right now because I'm gonna have to go work out or something. I'm gonna have to go work out. Martin, I appreciate you calling in, bro, man. Hurry up, man.
Shout outs. I'm just going to give a shout-out to all the entire Baltimore right now. We are winning right now. UMBC, give a shout-out real quick. They are in a dogfight, 42-38 with Kansas State. And shout-out to all my HBCUs